Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Uranus Happen Show live here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by eAstrologer.tv. I'm Ernesto. I'm your host. And I'm joined here today with the lovely Veretta. So, hey, quick question, Veretta. So when I was listening to our show the other day, and just for me, like the feeling that I get when I listen to the way that I talk to people, it's very different than how I've ever really addressed people or consulted with them in the past. You know, like even if you QA this show from like some of the earlier episodes, like when Caitlin was a host back when, I was a jerk. You know, I was really quite prickly, for the lack of a better word. And so when I listen to like the contrast to today and where we're at and kind of the direction that we're taking in the show now, would you agree, Veretta, that we're basically doing like some ministry of spirit work here with people on the air, and we're using like their chart as a guide or a blueprint to provide that ministry?
Yes, I would. I would have. And the ministry that we provide is for few or unique, many, however you want to term that, that only we can reach. Because if you were to say to a spiritual individual that may even, if you want to say, maybe be very pious in the, we minister to those that need to hear spiritual encouragement. Some people could come off the chain. You, nothing you do is ministerial. Yeah, you just don't understand that there are many forms of ministerial work. And when we can channel what we bring, that doesn't come from us. That comes through us. So you betcha that's a ministerial process in the works, in the happening. And that's how you know the difference. And when someone's going to out you and being ego-bound on just preaching from a pedestal and bringing information from spirit.
I wondered this because it's like the feeling that I get is in a lot of role-playing games, what happens at a certain point during the main story is like the protagonist just gets kind of stuck. They don't really know what else to do, and for whatever odd reason, something that like a lot of these games have in common is that the protagonist then has to go off on their journey and visit like a mystic who's like a healer or a seer, or they just know things and can frame things in a way that, you know, the main character can't. So it feels like, you know, that the people that are on the phone with us are like this main character, and then we're this, you know, all-knowing mystic that's sitting in a chair with like a fancy mirror or something like that. That's just kind of the feeling, the sense that I get, you know, when I think about, when I listen to us giving, or at least me, giving calls over, or talking to people over the air. So it sort of made me wonder, is that ministry, is that what that actually looks like? But, you know, we're never really taught this, just because, you know, we're all taught to think, you know, that it's the bastardized general religion.
Right. And yes and no. I mean, like I said, there are different styles of people, therefore there are different necessities as far as ministerial programs are concerned. And none of that has to do with religion. So when you find someone that's a very spiritual individual and they can reach the freaking masses, yet if you were to walk up to them and say, you're just a natural minister, and they may rebel because the word minister usually relates to religion, they don't want to have anything to do with that. They don't have a part of that. So when you understand that when we are providing whatever form of healing, teaching, growth that we provide to individuals, it's not coming from us. It's coming through us. And if we remember that, no matter what, it has nothing to do with who we are. So we can walk around and hang any title that we want, but the reality of it is if we're not doing it for the right reason, it's not going to last. And that's what separates the folks from that fact from the fiction. So when you're seeing yourself improve, even now from then, 4 months, how your insight, your delivery, your finesse, all the way you may even term things that come, your point of view, as you work with people, if you are open to it for the right reason, you learn as well. You continue to grow. So it happens that while you're ministering to, you're being ministered to as well. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to do this particular style of format for the show for everybody was that, you know, we've all got our own issues that we have to work with. And Bretter and I both do a very unique style of personal consulting that's very spiritual by nature. So we wanted to, you know, give back. And so we do this for everybody on the air. I'm not a minister myself, or, you know, I'm sort of in like a non-secular school that's going to probably point me in that direction, but it just kind of came as a surprise to me, like, oh, I never really saw myself in that way, but now that I do, I really actually really like that.
And honestly, that very point right there, I have been a minister. I have pioneered that aspect of being able to preach from a pulpit. I did not do it through a conventional religion. I actually co-founded, founded, if you will, started 501c3 state certified church, incorporated to Omni denomination, and therefore I ministered to the aspect of spiritualism. I didn't minister to religion. And my approach worked for the people that needed to hear the style and the delivery type of message that I could provide. Now, was that because I was giving it to them? No, that's my style of delivery, what Spirit was trying to provide to those people. And what I learned during that time, what you just said, was someone walked up to me at first, before I ever had the opportunity to start my own church, when I had done in earnest, really taking over the practice of a preacher or a minister, if you will, layman. And I hadn't really ever intended to do anything about running the whole show. And one of the congregants had walked up to me after many months of the congregation growing and the church thriving and many things happening and happiness, la, la, la. And she said to me, how do you feel about being so many people's primary minister? And, you know, I had never seen myself that as such right up until that moment. And the minute she said that, and I, from a perspective of glance, took a step back and said, whoa, I'm here for a reason. Don't mess this up. There's got to be, you know, a point to me standing in front of people every Sunday and watching the congregation grow and having people listen to the message that I'm delivering and knowing that it's a just message straight from Spirit, there's got to be something here I need to be paying attention to. Heroes don't normally come out of the womb thinking, when I grow up, I'm going to be a superhero. But the reality of it is when the necessity happens, the hero will appear. Now, I'm not saying I was a hero, and I'm not saying we are a hero, but I am saying that the information that we bring forward, the questions that are brought up, are the questions that the masses need to hear the answers to. And the way we deliver it, even though your end is so, you know, microscopically detailed to the individual, and mine is too, from the aspect of feeling the energy that they're specifically going through, I think that's why we make a good combination of what we provide on this show.
So here's a really important distinction that I came across this past week that in my own, I guess, just studies, is that we often talk about, you know, like we bash the whole eat, pray, love concept that, you know, that I can be an astronaut because you said I can. So therefore, I'm going to make that happen and I'm going to put my life on hold until it does happen. Well, here's the thing about that, you know, so first of all, that's called toxic positivity. We don't buy into that. We don't sell that. We never want anything to do with that mindset, right? But the key takeaway from this is the fact that, you know, if my goal in life is to be, let's say, a supermodel, which is absolutely attainable, unlikely because, you know, there's a whole bunch of connections. I'm an old man by those standards now. You know, I definitely don't have the body for it, but I can put in the work to make something like that happen. So if I do the work on myself to make my internal reality what I want to manifest on the external world, then that's the magic of alchemy. And that's something that I haven't really mentioned too much here, and I want to bring up that distinction that you really have to go from within to get the things that you want. Remember mm-hmm. that, you know, Mario never saved the princess by sitting on his ass at home, that he did the things that he needed to transform himself to make those things happen. And that's why, you know, when we talk about, or I say something is going to happen in your chart, you know, like there's always a positive and a negative end of everything. And that's the high and the low road. Well, really, that's just indicative of how you're handling yourself on the inside, because that's what's manifesting out in the world. So if, let's say, we're dealing with some really difficult energies that could be prone to addiction, for example, you know, then you've probably got a lot of spirituality. You've probably got a lot of psychic stuff that's going on. Why? Because people who do drugs are looking for God. You know, we're looking for spirit. We're looking for higher knowing. So it's my choice to, you know, do all of these illicit substances that are unhealthy for me. So my internal reality is despair and all of these terrible things. And of course, that's what I'm going to manifest. Whereas, you know, if I'm pulling from within and, you know, channeling that energy or doing meditation or whatever method it is to bring out the positive end of that planet or axis point in your chart, then that's what I'm going to manifest in the outside world. So I just wanted to make that distinction. And it's really key that when we talk about readings and, you know, we're counseling people here, that it is your choice, but it has to come from within too. It's not just an entirely passive experience.
Yeah. A little effort's got to be done on your part. What is that? And the classic one that I realized that when, and then it very quickly became a thing back in the day. You can't win the lottery if you don't play. Is that the way that saying goes?
Yes. Well, right.
The reality of it is you can't get anything if you don't try. There's that.
People find that very they find themselves very frustrated and angry with life that, why didn't I get what I wanted? Well, because you didn't try, you know, like you could have asked for help, you know, like, and maybe you thought that made you feel less than, but you know, at least you were doing something.
And then there's the spiritual component, right? We always add the layer of the spiritual component to the fact that, well, I did try. I did everything I was supposed to. I did everything right. I did even more than I was supposed to. And what I wanted didn't come. So, okay, well, then we need to take a look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture was maybe it wasn't supposed to, and that is a very real component that people just don't want to hear.
Right, that's where,
and
you know,
really
like we have to,
yeah,
we have to bury the toxic positivity
and
you know, face the truth.
Yeah, exactly, face the truth that no, you know, you might think that spiritualism is a reward system, that once you cross all the T's, dot all the I's, lick all the back of the stamps, and then, you know, polish the glasses, that your soulmate will come. But why didn't it? Well, because that soulmate that you want was never what you were going to receive, nor was it reasonable to expect it should happen. And you set yourself up, and yet you still don't want to take responsibility, you'll blame it on something or someone else. So we always have to take a look at the spiritual component when it comes to anything that we say is a law or a rule. And that is, everybody's an individual. You know, we can tell you this is what's going to take place. This is the rule of thumb. This is the way this goes. If it's a duck, if it sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. There's always going to be an exception. Always. So where I got learned, if you will, over the years that I sat storefront in VQ, Vision Quest, doing my, internship, if you will, by the masses, that it does not matter how right you are, how correct you've been, or what it is that you know, is the absolute truth. If a person doesn't want to hear it, they're not going to honor you. So there's only so much you can do. So when we go into a point of understanding that, you know, they're coming to ask us for the input of what the right course of action would be, there's always free will, and they have the choice to do what they're going to do. And if they decide that that's going to be our fault because they variated what they were told, then we just got to be able to say, okay, well, that's still on you. That wasn't us. And it didn't come from us. It came through us. In the reality of we didn't make it, we just permission.
you know, that's in the retail space when I, as the consumer or as the customer service rep, tell the consumer, you know, I'm really sorry, but there's nothing else I can do to assist you at this time. So you're going to have to give us a call back later. Thanks for calling Acme. Take care and goodbye. That's how that works. So on that note, hopefully, you know, this is a whole, you know, our show is a whole different level of customer service that is unlike any other. You know, you really can't get this experience anywhere. So like I'm teaching somebody right now and I say, you know, I'm going to throw you to the wolves and I'm going to make you do a live show with cold readings because that's the only way you can practice and really get good at this, right? Nobody got good at playing the piano just by studying the music.
Or watching somebody else play.
Right. So let's take some calls tonight and catch up with some of our subscribers here. We're going to start off with caller from area code 925. Hi, you're on the Uranus Hapka Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hi, Ernesto. This is Teresa, and my birth date is 2-1-58.
Teresa, you've never called the show before, have you?
I have called once way back when.
Okay, all right. And I'm sorry, what was your birth date again?
February 1st, 1958.
February 1st, 58. All right, got it. And at what time?
Yeah, 4:55 p.m.
All right, perfect. And where were you born?
Pittsburgh, California, without the H.
Okay, that's interesting. That's like one of those, you know, time warp kinds of things. It's not the real Pittsburgh, you know. It's like there's an Oceanside, New York kind of thing.
There you go.
Okay, so Pittsburgh, California. Here we go. And would you like, Teresa, a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
I have a question regarding career. I'm looking for a job. I'm looking to make a change. There's my work is just not the same anymore, and there's a lot of people leaving. There's a negative influence that's making people really unhappy.
Perfect. Let's take a look at that. Veretta, what you got?
Okay. So you are full of a lot of emotion about that. But you know what I'm picking up about that emotion isn't so much that it's time to fly. It's that there's been a change building or a need for change building for quite some time. And this is the freaking icing on the cake. This is where this is it. I've really been as honored as I look the other way and just try to provide a middleman, mediary kind of way, take a Switzerland kind of stand pace up to this point because it's, you know, I thought it was a job that I could do, blah, 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 blah. All right, so is it time for you to be gone? Possibly, but I think you're going to wait. Why do I think you're going to wait? There's a specific time frame. I feel like there's a need for you to either maintain this flow of speed that you're going to work, and then right up about a certain time frame, you'll know there's no more time to wait. It's time to fly. I don't know why I'm feeling like there's a major time significance at this junction, like it's an anniversary, an event is going to take place, a transition is going to transcribe between the work environment or a job or a contract or some kind of something is going to signal that it's time.
A layoff. They're going to start with rounds of layoffs, I think.
Is that what it is? And I feel like they're... Are you guys union?
No.
I feel like something's coming to vote. And that's why I wondered if you were union. I don't know how else that pertains, but I would just point that to someone. Maybe it's on the inside is going to take an internal vote and bad things are going to happen, or that's really where you're going to see the shift. But I think it's going to come to a head before it would subside. So I think that you're going to go. I just don't think it's now. But I think that it's not just because there's disgruntled happenings at work. I think it's kind of because it's time for this aspect of what you do to be over to the degree that you're doing it.
Right. I've just been looking and I'm not finding anything that really looks like it's going to make me happy. And I've been looking for a while.
So, Ernesto, can you focus on the time?
For, like, when a new job would come around?
Well, I think for when the ending of this one is going to start to register, because I think that's when she's going to start to find either a new avenue to take or something different is going to kind of be presented.
There's going to be a slowage of work, you know, like there, you know, like decrease, we'll say, you know, like there's, I want to say that the company that you work for, they are either downsizing, perhaps they were sold out to somebody else, or else they started to outsource a lot of their operations. But, you know, the workforce that you're in right now is slowly, you know, diminishing. It's getting smaller. It's shrinking. So I think that's going to be characterized by, like, rounds of layoffs. There could be, you know, severance packages or something along those lines that are offered. Or, you know, perhaps even just rumors that, oh, did you hear that so-and-so got laid off today? And it's like, and then you, in your own experience, you find out that people are laid off in groups, you know, like that dreaded conversation, you know, that dreaded tap on the shoulder where they take you to the HR room kind of thing. You know, like, you're going to start to experience a lot of that.
People are quitting.
We've had, yeah. People are quitting. They're fed up. It used to be a company that everybody really loved to be at. And there's a person that's been hired that's toxic, and people are getting fed up.
Well, the company is going to die. I'm just going to let you know that.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. The company, it's on life support right now. So I think that, you know, like, wherever you're at, you will be lucky if you still receive a paycheck from these people at all, anybody, within, like, the next 4 to 6 months. Like, this is going to be dropping off relatively soon here. And I think that that's going to kind of instill some adrenaline in you, and that's going to be, like, fight or flight mode. Let's do something, you know, let's be serious here. Honestly, I think that, you know, the new position that you're looking for probably isn't even where you're located right now. You know, that there may be some traveling involved with it. Greta, I don't know if you picked up that energy at all, but I see it for, you know, like a new job that there's definitely some relocation here. I mean, if we're talking about, like, a job that you want, you know, the one that makes you happy, if the job that is going to pay your bills and keep your lights on, and that's close by, we don't really care about that one. But the one that, you know, really makes Teresa's soul sing, the one that you're excited to go to every day, that's going to be not where you're at right now.
Yeah, and
I'm looking for something that.
I don't think you're going to realize that's what you stumble into. I think you're going to. So this is what I get. What I can feel happening is initially the energy is, ho hum, here we go, I'm learning something new. After a little while, it's, oh shit, I really actually like what I'm doing. I like this job. Let's keep going. You're actually getting up excited in the morning, and I don't think that's happening very often anymore. So I feel like it's going to, like he's saying right now, it's going to give you that renewed boost, but it's going to be a bit before that happens. It's going to be after you get into another position, and that's going to be after you go through a lot more of juggling of the now or later kind of ball. Ernesto, you said 4 to 6 months.
You know, that's like the maximum life that this company even has. You know, like this company won't be around in 6 months.
I think you're going to take a traveling job. I don't think it's a relocation. I can see you traveling for work. And you're not doing something that you're familiar with. But after a bit, you're like, oh, wait, you know, I actually like what I'm beginning to do. So I don't know what the aspect of the like is. To travel, maybe. Maybe you get to see some awesome sites. I don't know. Maybe your company comps you. Who knows?
Many years ago, I met somebody who very randomly became a corporate trainer for a nationwide dollar store chain. And they're still working there to still love it, go everywhere around the country, never really at home, but it totally happened out of the blue. And I think that, you know, like this is going to be the type of job that you didn't know you wanted it until you get into it. And then, but how you even fall into it is an accident in and of itself. So I think that while you're doing, you know, some like mundane, everyday, boring lifestyle kind of thing, you're going to see this other opportunity that's like, oh, I've never thought about that. I wonder what that is. You'll just kind of know because it's something that you've never done before. But it's curious enough to you that you at least want to stick around to see what that's all about.
Yep, I'm getting a very same feeling with that. And you're a hard sell when it comes to that kind of thing. But this is going to be one of those times where you've had enough. I mean, you're already there. You've already been feeling this way for a while. Like you said, people are already fed up enough. They're quitting. So it isn't so much... So let me just say this. It isn't so much that you need to quit. It's that you need to quit for the reason it's right, which you will. So hang in there for just about a minute. Just about less than a six-month countdown is all you got to wait. Just be ready to pull the trigger when you find whatever it is that is that shiny, you know, that you might think that, well, it can't be worse than what I'm doing now and the pay's better. So even if it ain't great, I'm getting paid more. You know what I mean?
I'm just looking Teresa, for something that looks interesting.
And
yeah, Teresa,
the way
I think...
see you is like, you're getting in a car. You're all dressed up. First of all, you don't dress up for work. The second of all, this is one of those things where you're looking to the sea. You're on somebody else's payroll. You're driving a car that is very nice. And you got a smile from ear to ear. And I really feel like you just got to give it enough time to get to that position, like Ernesto is saying. You don't even know you like it yet.
So I just want to leave you with this, Teresa, and then we'll move on. I'm taking a look really quick here because, you know, we're talking about work conversations, and obviously that concerns everybody's livelihood. So what I will say is that money is not going to be an issue. Money is actually going to be A-okay in all of this. So, you know, when you leave the position, if you're worried about, you know, how am I going to keep my lights on, you know, it's not like you're going to have to eat toast for the rest of the month kind of thing. But, you know, you're not going to be able to afford, you know, the above and beyond that you used to before. Your basics will be taken care of. I will say that for sure. So you don't have to worry about those issues. And the new this job that you're in, I wouldn't be surprised if you left this job by the end of the year, but the company itself is not long for this world. Like, they'll be lucky if they make it into the spring of next year.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense because I know that they wanted to sell, but they're making a lot of big mistakes, so I don't know how anybody would want to sell it with those mistakes that they're making.
It's going to implode. It's all going to backfire. So, you know, you just stay in your own lane and mind your own business and, you know, you get the heck out of there because the writing's on the walls, you know, and it's going to shut down. It's going to blow up. And you're going to find this new position, but it's going to be one of those things that you never saw coming, but it's just interesting enough that maybe, hey, I could have a shot at it.
Well, I'll keep looking. I'll keep my eyes open.
We do wish you the very best of luck. Teresa, be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out. And, hey, do us a favor. Go out to our YouTube stream and leave us a comment, you know, and some feedback about your reading with us tonight. It was great to have you on.
Sure. I will. Thank you so much.
We'll catch up with you soon.
Take care.
Good night.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Okay, and we are going to take our next call here from area code 229. Okay.
Are we online on YouTube? Because I'm still seeing it's waiting for you on.
Oh, great.
Doug's way in.
All right.
Sorry.
So let me do that. Thank you. That's a nice catch. We always want to make sure that everything is not on fire, which it probably is, but we'll find out.
Yeah,
oh, no. I am. No, we are live. Are you on the right stream?
Yes, I'm live. I guess not. Yeah, it says today, waiting for Ernesto at 13th, September 15th. So.
Are you watching it from the Facebook thing?
YouTube.
Oh, huh. I don't know why it's doing that. Now. I have it. Shows up live on my page. I'll send you the new link. Okay. So let's get to...
Oh, there we go.
You got it now?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
So we are going to move on to our next caller here from area code 229. Here we go. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happy Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Yes, my name is Melvin, and my date of birth is September the 10th, 1960.
Melvin, I know we have spoken here before, but I don't have your data. Okay, that was September 10th of what year?
1960.
60, okay, all right. And what time were you born?
6:35 p.m.
6:35 p.m. Okay, all right. And sure. Melvin, would you like a would you like a general reading tonight, or do you have a question about an issue?
I have a lot going on, but I have this one question that really been bugging.
Oh, I'm so sorry. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Melvin, where were you born?
Thomasville, Georgia.
Thomasville, Georgia. Okay, now what was your question for us tonight? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm on dialysis, and I've been on dialysis for about a year and a half, and I'm on the I'm on the kidney transplant list. But between the year and a half, I've been having some really bad times with the caregivers there and the aides and the nurses. And so yesterday was a bad day when I was at dialysis. One of the guys was trying to take me off, and I didn't let him take me off because he didn't have enough experience. And one of the girls just went wild on me and just started, you know, talking to me any kind of way. You know, I'm a patient at this facility. And so the charge nurse came over and took me off the machine because I was finished. And the charge nurse and my social worker and I met in the office yesterday. We had a good long talk, and they seemed to be that they really care about what happened to me, and they were sorry. And I just wanted to know, is this person is going to be terminated? And because I'm tired of going there, and I'm a patient advocate there. And I have seen some bad things there and heard some bad things, and it's just enough. So it's just too much. And I just want to know, it's like, do you guys see me, like, you know, seeing this girl being terminated? That's, in my opinion, if, you know, if there's any hospital setting and she acted out the way she did and left me sitting there holding my arm bleeding, they should have fired on the spot. But I just want to know, you know, I got to go in the morning. So I got to go in the morning. And did she quit or they fired her?
Melvin, I am
or
so
they
sorry.
Just rolled
that
up.
You went,
I don't know.
You went through this entire experience. I am, you know, one hill I will always die on is, you know, the quality of health care received, especially when you're the patient, you know, and people just seem to think that they can get away with bad doctoring or bad nursing. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. But, Melvin, I think the real question you're asking here today is my health care situation going to get better? Would you say that's true, that that's really what you want to know?
That's what I really wanted to know, but I didn't want to waste too much time. But I'm just frustrated with this tech, the way she treated me yesterday. I could have bled to death, you know. I mean, those are negligent, and I was inches away from, you know, calling me an attorney. So, and I just want to know how this is going to be resolved. But I want to ask the question, but I don't know how much time you guys have, so I don't know if I could ask two questions.
Well, we do have somebody else in queue tonight. But let's just get, yeah, let's do the first one. Brenda, go ahead.
Yes, so, ma'am.
This is what I need you to hear me say. You need to ask yourself what's more important, quality care or to know this girl gets her comeuppance, because this is what's going to happen. If you take the approach tomorrow morning that you just want to know that this girl knows that what she's done was wrong in that way, she's going to get probably terminated, if not moved to another facility, which you'll never see her again either way. If you're just wanting vengeance, then I'm thinking tomorrow is going to be a very big disappointment for you. And no, the quality of your care isn't going to get better, because they're just going to find a way to neglect you more and more. And unfortunately, that's the name of the way humans. I know that you really just want it to be a good thing where you don't have to go in and worry about your health, your life, where, you know, the whole cause of you going in there is to get a health-providing treatment so that you'll live and be okay. And to go in there like that with the thought now of the threat of someone coming to hurt you maliciously, neglect, out of, oops, I didn't mean to, kind of I'm sorry stuff, is going to create a PTSD, type of significance in your brain. So I need you to know that if they do right by you and let her go, you got to let it go in your head too. Don't let it trigger some response that you're not safe in this environment. But your first
right.
question to yourself is, what do I want more, quality care or vengeance? All right? And if you say quality care, then it's not with your conditions. It's not with your limitations. It's quality care, period. And if that means this girl needed this experience to go away and reveal a hero of a nurse that you have ever seen and goes down in the history book, voila, she needed you. Okay? Come away
that.
From the vengeance part of it. But hear me say that you really want quality care. Now let's see what Ernesto has to say. And he can bring a lot more clarity and focus to
yes,
it for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right, let me look at a few more things here. I just got to do this last one. Okay, so Melvin, you've got kidney disease, and you said that's been like been going for about a year and a half now?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. And so is this care facility where you went to, where you were treated so badly, is this someplace new in your plan of care that you've never really done business with them before?
I've never done business with them before, but I heard rumors about that facility, and I'm a veteran, and the VA sent me there, and they sent me there. So I heard that, you know, these people was obnoxious, and it was insane. So I'm a patient advocate, and I have heard and seen patients being treated wrong, and I reported it. So now they all gang it up on me, and they're trying to treat me in any kind of way. But that's not going to happen. I don't care what they say or try to do. That's not going. They're not going to step over me like they've been stepping over the other clients. I'm not that type of person. I'm gonna go out and tell.
You could you know it's always one. First of all, hats off to you that, you know, you would go off and do something like that, because that's something that I would love to do, is, you know, write up reports, incident reports of all of the bad doctoring I've received every single time it happens, because it's unbelievable. It's every day, all the time. And we all know this. But, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, we have to be aware that we can't really bite the hand that feeds us, especially when it comes to something like healthcare, because it may be a beautifully broken system, but it is what it is. And, you know, we're kind of they really kind of have us by the balls that we have to do play by their games. Otherwise, you know, everybody's livelihood is affected. Now, I think for you, Melvin, as far as like, you know, this particular incident with this young lady and this everything that happened, I feel that it should be reported just for the sake of having it reported and put in writing. And then you should probably have a conversation with the office manager and say, you know, I'm really sorry, but I'm afraid to come back here to receive any further treatments from this office because of how I was treated by this other employee. And, you know, just do it as out of place of love, you know, not to attack and to, you know, complain and to be snide and, you know, slanted or any of that, just for the sake for them to know, you know, like, I'm really sorry, but you lost my business and my insurance dollars because I don't feel safe. Like, there is really truly something to be said for the fact that any human being in this universe does not feel safe. Like, that's not a good thing. You want to fix that problem. So you know, like, that needs to at least be made known, and then, you know, part ways, find someplace new. I feel like as far as the kidney stuff is concerned, if we're going to look at that, have they discussed, you know, any type of like radiation therapy with you?
No, sir.
Okay, I feel like that there's going to be some high-frequency, you know, treatment that they're going to be doing with you. That could be radiation. That could be, you know, like some other type of dialysis that's more fancy than what they normally offer. But I feel that your health care itself, that there's something in there that that is just now coming to light, like some new experimental technology or, you know, some new clinic that you just now found out about that opened up in your area that takes your insurance, that's going to be much better than these other places. So I feel like that as far as, you know, you trying to find out, well, where do I follow up after I drop it off with these people, that place is around the corner, and it's someplace you've never heard of yet, and it's going to be someplace that's going to be much better for you than what you've had in the past. Rhett, did you pick up on that too?
So you seeing that he's going to transfer?
Yes, there's most definitely an attempt that you need to make at this, an attempt to transfer. Yes, that's really where you're coming from tomorrow.
So they're going to offer me a transfer.
Well, I think what Ernesto was saying is even though there's not something that you would see that you qualify for right now in that type of plan, it will. And I would almost guarantee that, yeah, sure it is. If your VA coverage is your primary, then most definitely they may be in a guinea pig stage of something we've never heard of before, and the government might like to effectively keep this from eating them alive
Yes, ma'am. So you
they
all
guinea pig you while you were in there.
So you all saying that the bill is not even going to get rolled up?
I think there is going to be a good deal of speculation on whether she should be released. But I think it's going to depend upon you and how you come across as to whether or not it will happen.
No, I don't want her touching me anymore. I don't want her around my machine or other guy. Those people there, ma'am and sir, they are very, very rude. I wouldn't send a dog there. I mean, they are very, very rude. And and that's why I'm going to talk with my patient advocate at the VA and report them and report this company. I'm not going to just lean back and let them pick on me like I'm a guinea pig. And I'm so close for kidney transplant, you know, and that's what I'm saying. But the reason why I called today is anything going to really, I just want to know is I'm having the most trouble with this girl, if she's going to be there. That's all I want to know tonight.
No, I don't believe that you're going to have any more dealings with her.
If she's going to be gone?
Either
no,
she'll
more
be
than
gone or moved.
Or you'll be dropped as the patient, right?
Okay, so when that?
There is a possibility that you could get dropped as a patient, too. Remember, don't forget that when you try to interfere with healthcare and those screwed up way that they try to get away with things, that there's retaliation, you know. They could just say, you know, we're really sorry, Mr. Melvin, but it's just not going to be a great fit with us. You're going to have to find another clinic or none of our providers are accepting new patients at the time. You know, like you'll get some BS line like that you would just get dropped and hit a wall. So, you know, that's the downside of, you know, kind of what's happening in this whole scenario with this young lady is that, you know, there could be retaliation and, you know, your healthcare could become interfered with because, you know, you came from a place of, you know, like revenge and, you know, just spite, you know, like that's, difficult emotions to work with and they can really
sir, it's not like revenge or anything. I mean, everybody have an obligation to have a right to do their job right in a professional manner, in a professional way. You have no right to treat a patient no kind of way. She violated the code of ethics, the company policy. And
correct. She did with you.
Are you saying
and,
that
and
I
that's
gotta
the
leave?
Place where you can hold her accountable. You can only hold her accountable with the events taking place with you. Not in future
that's why
events.
Yes, ma'am. That's why I already met with the charge nurse and the social worker yesterday. They called me in the office, and they were so disappointed in the things that I was saying. And the charge nurse, she told me we're gonna address this issue. So I'm just asking, how will it come out? That's all. You know, I kind of want to know, but if they say that I can't come to that facility, then they'll hear from my attorney. That's
right.
That's
and that's
negligent. They're trying to get rid of me because I don't sugarcoat stuff. I tell it and I see it and I tell the truth. I'm not going to lie on nobody. So I'm going to tell the truth.
What you also have to remember is that everyone has a reason to play their part. If this girl had a reason to play her part,
she had no reason to leave me there bleeding, ma'am. He didn't have no reason to leave, to walk me, to walk away with me bleeding like that. There was no
reason. Hey, Melvin,
for that.
I know you said that there was a second thing that you wanted to talk about with us tonight, and you know we do have somebody else in line, so we kind of got to get to them before the hour's up. So we will be back though Sunday morning 9:30 Mountain or Arizona time. Well, I don't know how that translates in your time zone, but we'll be back 9:30 for a 2-hour program. If you want to give us a call then, and we can talk about that other thing.
Okay, thank you. You all have a good night.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with you. Take care. Until soon. Best of luck. Okay, and we are going to take our last call here for the night from area code 757. Hi, you're on the Uranus Appen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hello, good evening. My name is Vernell. Start with a V, like in Virginia, and I'm from Virginia.
Vernell, okay. You've called us before. I remember you. Here we go. Got it. Now, Vernell, do you have a question about an issue, or would you like a general reading tonight?
Yeah, I really have a question. My boyfriend had passed away on March 17, 2020, from cancer, and his name was Charles. And I was wondering if y'all might know if he had reincarnated or if he's still on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what was your relation to him?
I was his girlfriend.
Okay, all right, got it. Retta, what you got?
Okay. So there must be some significance to the time frame. I'm feeling like he's coming and giving me the fact that there's an old sign or there's a memory of something that's cropping up around the now time frame. I also want to tell you that in the essence of the way he's communicating, his essence has gone on to a little bit of a higher plane, but he's not necessarily reincarnated. Now, you may feel like he's void or you very absent from you where he used to maybe have been able to communicate very plain, but right now I think the fact that you're not hearing him is not because he has gone on to, or come back, let's just say, or come back. You're going through some kind of transition or some kind of growth in general, and there's a point to him staying kind of absent. But he's not away. He's not totally gone. I don't know how to explain it. He's just shy these days and has been for quite some time. But it's not because he doesn't exist anymore in the spirit plane. Does that make sense?
I hate to say it, but it kind of sounded like your voice went out a little bit. I was wondering if you might be able to say it again. I'm sorry.
This is where channeling really sucks.
Right.
So if you heard me, Ernesto, you tell her.
So it had... okay. I'm taking a look here. Now, you know, Vernell, we're talking about, you know, somebody else from your past that concerns a different person's chart than your own. But I'm taking a look at your chart just, you know, as a curiosity based on the language of astrology and how that works. So if Hades means the past and Mars refers to a man, and we know that Venus Hades, for example, would be like an ex-wife, that would be that character in the play, then there's a reasonable expectation that Mars Hades would have to do something with like a male lover from the past, you know, perhaps an ex or something along those lines. So, you know, this is more of on the fringe of what Uranian astrology can accomplish. So I'm taking a look here in your chart, and what we find on that green dot on our YouTube stream, if you're watching there live out there, is we see that your directed meridian, your Poseidon, and your along with your Venus and the transiting Venus Mars. This is what's interesting, is the fact that you called us today, which, you know, really wasn't any type of coincidence. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, draw a black circle here on that third chart. Venus Mars out there by the transit. So that's like intimacy, that's friends, you know, that can be blood relatives. That's Venus, Mars. Those are two of the cardinal planets that you would really want in any type of love relationship. You know, that's like sun, moon. That's like man and woman. That's like Venus, Mars is the passion planets, you know, that you need to make two people intimate with each other to make that type of, you know, really tight emotional tightness there. So the fact that I'm seeing that happening out in the sky today, when you called in the show, then this just tells me that, you know, you really meant to call the show and ask about this question or this access point in your chart. So what it looks like his message to you would be then is to make light of the darkness that's happening in the situation that you're in right now. Now, Vernell, you know, like there seems to be like this, I don't want to say darkness or heavy energy, but there is some difficulty that's going on with you, and it's pretty potent. It's pretty powerful right now, and it's definitely affecting you. But, you know, use this as a spiritual transformation, because throughout all the darkness, you will find the light. It will always win out 100% of the time. And if we're looking at your chart about, you know, what messages does Charles have for you, this would have to do with this – what you're going through in life right now, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that it'll be there for you. And you really need to rely on your family bonds, you know, your friend, your close, tight friends, you know, not just acquaintances, the people that really matter, your friends and family. They're going to be your biggest allies in, you know, these tough times.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have been going through some things with the people that I'm renting from, and like, you know, a few other callers that y'all had spoken with earlier, they were talking about moving because of what they are going through. And I've I was put under pressure from the people that I rent from and the owner because I had complained about my next door neighbor last fall. And he had young people over, and it sounded like, I mean, it smelled like they were cooking drugs over there, and it was really badly affecting me and my cat. And I was complaining, and the owner sided with the next-door neighbor, and they turned the whole thing around and make it seem like everything is about, you know, how much things I have in my apartment, and this is a small apartment. And he was in here with his apartment manager back in 2019, and they seen things in here, and they didn't say anything then. But because I complained about the next-door neighbor, you know, they are trying to make everything be about my apartment and telling me I need to get rid of things or I have 30 days or something. And they were supposed to have already came in and inspected, and they didn't. And hopefully it'll stay that way. And I'm currently trying to find another place to move to now.
You probably will run into like some really serious issues, like possibly an eviction. I want to say it'll be spontaneous out of the blue, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're pounding at your door kind of thing. But the great news is this: wherever you're going to next, the new property that you'll be living at, you're going to be really, really happy there. It's not going to be this headache that, you know, you've been going through for your living situation the past bit of time here that's just been too stressful. So even though it's going to seem like, you know, Rome is on fire and everything is crumbling down when they say, you know, but now it's just not working out, we're going to have to ask you to go. The great news is that on the other side of that fence, wherever that may be, you're going to land and you're really going to like it where you end up. So this is really a blessing in disguise. It may not seem like that way in the first bit here. So my advice is, you know, if there's somebody that you could have, like a friend or family member that you could potentially have like on the back burner on emergency dial, say like, hey, so that thing that happened, can I crash on your couch for a couple of days or maybe a week, you know, like have some contingency plans. So when it does get real, then at least you can make a phone call and get that issue taken care of.
Okay. I was hoping I would be gone before they even try to come to me about evicting me.
You're going to have to move fast.
Right. But there's that possibility. You might be able to get out of there in time.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, so look for a, you know, I know living costs are absolutely crazy these days, but, you know, like a room for rent or something along those lines. Exhaust all your listings or, you know, research skills and listings, but something will show up for you, you know, if you want to get that taken care of before, you know, you get kicked out. But know that if it does escalate to that, you know, if you're unable to find anything that works out for you and you do get that, you know, that pounding on your door, have that backup plan because you're going to need it and you're going to be glad that you did, because it's going to happen out of the blue and you won't be prepared for it because, you know, you had all of your energies focused on this other plan that just didn't quite work out the way it was supposed to. And that was just the way it was meant to be. So, you know, it's really kind of up to you and your core how you want to handle this. Either you can make the choice or somebody will make it for you.
Okay.
But you'll be okay either way. Just remember that. In the long run, you'll
right.
be okay either way.
Either way, Renelle will have a roof over her head, so we don't have to worry about that issue.
Okay. I didn't think things were going to become that serious. Because I even told him that I was going to try to find another place. I told him I was trying to find another place. And that seemed to not really make any difference to them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they're determined to get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this too shall pass and you will be okay. It's absolutely going to be fine, whatever comes of this. This is just, you know, like it's a blessing in disguise, truly, is what this is. You have no idea how green that grass is going to be once you get there.
Okay.
Well,
and as far as my boyfriend goes, he's not really, I mean, he's still on the other side. He did not, y'all say he did not reincarnate. And
not yet, anyway. I would say he's still on the edge of the ethers, still kind of processing his life on Earth, you know, before he decides to make that decision to go off into the afterlife into higher realms and watch life on this planet from there. But, you know, I would say that he's in like some transition period between life and death. So he hasn't quite crossed over, but, you know, he hasn't made up his mind. His soul hasn't made up its mind one way or the other, which way it wants to go. Retta, is that kind of the sense that you get?
He's not in a place where he's having to atone necessarily, so it wouldn't be due to that in kind of way. It's more a matter of perspective of the next step with what he really wants to do, you know? And there's a reason why he's kind of hanging close to where you're at right now, for whatever that's worth. He hasn't gone totally away because of you.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's not in a negative manner or negative. Yeah, it's not in a negative manner.
There are just still things
gone.
That he needs
he's
to be here for you with.
Right.
You know, like. I was having this exact conversation earlier today. Like my grandmother, who I lost 7 years ago, there is no way in today's world that she would have the knowledge, the empathy, or the skill set to be able to know me in the capacity that I operate today. So, but you know what she can do is by crossing on, she can have the exact same conversations with me, but from another realm. So now I can, you know, receive information about astrology and what I do. So it's just a different, you know, layer of knowing somebody. Sometimes people can only know us from over there because that's the way it's meant to be. I mean, sometimes that's why people children lose their parents at a very young age, is because that's just the soul agreement that we have, is we're going to do it from different sides.
Okay. I told him that he's always welcome to be around me, and that his presence is always welcome. And I'm also hoping that, you know, whenever my time comes across, that, you know, he'll want me back together with him when that time comes. And also hoping that, you know, he's also going to stay around me up until that time.
Well,
he'll
Renelle,
give you the support, yeah.
great to have you on the show with us tonight. We will be back with you guys on Sunday morning at 9:30 for a 2-hour program. And so be sure to give us a call back next time. And if you want to listen, it's always awesome to have you here on the show with us. We always take those questions from you guys. Remember, everybody, for all other things, your reading astrology, be sure to go out to eastrologer.net. That's my personal website where you can go and find some more out about what I do and my work. And Veretta is at verettavision.com. Thanks so much, Veretta, for joining me tonight. It was awesome, as always, and we'll be back with you guys I've been speaking at Sunday morning, and that'll be at 9:30 for a 2-hour slot.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
Take care, everybody. Until next time, good luck and good night. Mm-hmm.